is Parashat Kitavo. It's on page 1068, 1069 in English. We'll read the beginning of the parasha. It discusses a mitzvah, a particular mitzvah, and from there we'll go further. So let's see. Verse number one, the top of the page 1069. It will be when you enter the land that Hashem your God gives you as an inheritance, and you possess it and dwell in it. So the Torah tells us that it is a mitzvah, what is coming after, that depends on things. When you have to come to the land of Israel first, and it has to be after you get it as an inheritance and possess it and dwell in it. It took 14 years for the Jewish people to divide the land to the tribes and to conquer all of it, or first to conquer and then to divide it to the tribes. So this mitzvah, the mitzvah of Bikurim, applies after those 13 years. So first it has to be in the land of Israel and not in the first 14 years. Now I want to draw your attention to something else. The verse starts with the words, it will be. It will be seems superfluous. If we start when you enter the land of Israel, it's the same, seems to be, as when we say, it will be when you enter the land of Israel. I want to draw your attention to the Hebrew. These three words in English, it will be, are one word in the Hebrew, the first word in the portion, vehaya. It will be, vehaya. And because it seems like a mitzvah that is not necessary, right? So our sages will tell us something about it. We'll soon come to it. But let's continue. Which mitzvah does the Torah discuss that we have to do 14 years from 40 years after we came to the land of Israel? That you shall take of the first of every foot of the ground that you bring in, that you bring in from your land that Hashem your God gives you. And you shall put it in a basket and go to the place that Hashem your God will choose to make his name rest there. You shall come to whoever will be the Kohen in those days, and you shall say to him, I declare today to Hashem your God that I have come to the land that Hashem swore to our forefathers to give us. The Kohen shall take the basket from you, from your hand, and lay it before the altar of Hashem your God. The mitzvah here is called Bikurim, as most of us know, the mitzvah Bikurim. Bikurim comes from the fact that it's the first of the fruits that grow for a person. When a person has fruit trees, only from the seven species that the land of Israel was blessed with, he has to go from time to time to check if new fruits are coming out. And the first of them that starts growing, when it comes to a certain size, he has to mark them. And later on, he will bring it to Yerushalayim in a basket, will bring it to the Kohen, and then he will declare something. What does he say? So let's see again. He tells him, I declare today to Hashem your God that I have come to the land that Hashem swore to our forefathers to give us. Doesn't Hashem know it? What does it have to do with the bringing of the Bikurim? Why does it have to be said that I declare today before Hashem that He brought us to the land? Right? So Rashi says, this declaration is saying, I am grateful. I'm not taking it for granted. I know that you brought us to the land. Because of you, I have fruits. So I'm coming to the Kohen and I bring them. Okay? So this declaration is to show that he doesn't lack, gratefulness. He's grateful. Okay? So he brings the fruits to Jerusalem. He declares what he declares. And then, if you go further to five, then you should call out and say before Hashem your God, another saying, and it's a few psukim from the somewhere in the middle of verse number 5, all through 10, is what the person has to say in front of Hashem when he brings the bikurim. The Kohen hears it, he brings him the food, and he says this declaration. This declaration is called by our sages Vidui Bikurim, the confession of Bikurim. Okay, so let's see the stages. First, the person has to be in the land of Israel with the nation for 14 years after entering the land, right? At the time of Yoshua, it did not start right away. 14 years later, when they inherited the land, divided it, they go into their vineyards, they see if there are fruits, they mark the first ones. When they arrive, there are times when it has to be done. It's from Shavuot, and we have a few months to do it, right? He comes to Jerusalem with the fruits in a basket, gives it to the Kohen, and he says two things. Number one, he says, Hashem brought me to the land of Israel. And second, the declaration that is called Vidui, confession, and we didn't see yet what is said there. So let's read the psukim briefly of what he says. I'll do some by reading, some by saying, right? And see what is the confession that he makes. So he says, an Aramean tried to destroy my forefather, referring to Lavan, right? He descended to Egypt, sojourned there, then we are told, he says what happened in Egypt, right? The affliction on one hand, the fact that Hashem took us out of there with great miracles. On the other hand, then in verse number 9, he brought us to the land of Israel, gave us the land, a land that flows with milk and honey. And now, behold, verse number 10, this I'll read, I have brought the first fruit of the ground that you have given me, O Hashem. And that's the end of the declaration. If you read it, we don't understand why our sages called it a confession. If we look at it, it's basically thanksgiving. Okay, not confession. Sins are not mentioned here altogether. So far we have a few questions. A, why do we start with, it will be when, instead of when you enter the land of Israel, what's the word vehaya in the beginning? Then we want to understand, why does it tell Hashem, you brought us to the land? So we said to show gratefulness. And then there is a confession, and we don't see any sins here. We see only thanksgiving. So we want to understand this mitzvah of Bikurim. It's a unique mitzvah because usually when we make a mitzvah, when we perform a mitzvah, we don't say declarations with it. We'll see soon, later on in the class, that it's followed by another mitzvah, and there we say also a declaration. Two mitzvot, it's the last two mitzvot in the book of Dvarim. And in these two mitzvot, we say a declaration. We have to understand why and what. So let's start with the first question. Why does it start with vehaya? Whenever we have the word vehaya in the Torah, it indicates happiness. Our sages compare vehaya to vayehi. Vayehi, like in the beginning of the story of Purim, indicates trouble, difficulties. It's like a combination of two words. Vayhaya, it was hard, it was difficult. People said vay, oi, right? Vehaya is an indication of happiness. So because the word is altogether superfluous, seemingly, and it indicates happiness, our sages say the following. They say the verb vehaya indicates miyad, right away. When it's written vehaya, it means right away. And they tell us, ki tavo el haaretz, when you come to the land, עשה מצווה האמורה בעניין, do this mitzvah that I'm telling you, that is written here, that starts with the word והיה, and in the merit of it, you'll enter the land of Israel. So we understand it's a happy occasion. And if we look at the details of how to perform it, We'll see that it is really done, this big celebration. It's before Shavuot. Everybody goes to Yerushalayim. Everybody holds these baskets with fruits on their shoulders, right? It's like a national event. There is singing and dancing and playing music. It's a very big celebration, right? And we have to understand why. It's such an important mitzvah that our sages tell us that the world was created for this mitzvah. And that's why there is a big celebration. Where do they learn it from? Because it's written, Velakachta, in verse 2, we have to do it in Hebrew, Velakachta mereshit, from the first foot. And the word for the first is reshit. And it brings to mind the word bereshit. And on the word bereshit, our sages say, for the things that are called in the Torah reshit, the world was created. Bereshit, for reshit. One of the things that are called in the Torah reshit is bikurim, because it's the first fruits, right? It's the beginning of the growth. So the world was created for it, and it's done with a lot of celebration. And our sages tell us, Haya, the word v'haya in the beginning indicates that you should do it right away. And in the merit of doing it, you will conquer the land. And this raises, of course, an obvious question. We just said that it cannot be performed before 14 years after conquering the land of Israel. They are told about this mitzvah in the desert. How could they do it right away? And how could this be the mitzvah that in its merit they'll conquer the land? They do it only after. How do we understand this saying of our sages? So to understand this saying of our sages, we have to understand more what it is all about. And this will lead us to the second question that we had about the confession that doesn't seem to be a confession. Instead of a confession, when we read it, it looks like thanksgiving. And this is really what it is. The word vidui in Hebrew can mean two things. It can be a confession on sins, and it could be from hoda'ah, thanksgiving. It's the same root, okay? So we have here thanksgiving as a result of the fact that Hashem enabled us to have fruits, provides for us whatever we need to have. And we want to thank Hashem for it. We are not lacking gratitude. We are grateful, and we come to thank Hashem for it. Why is it so important? I want you to go to page 983. Page 983, Moshe speaks to the Jewish people, and these are his last words before he passes away, and he gives instructions for the future, guidelines, ways of thinking towards the future, because he won't be there anymore. He's saying it now. And he says the following, verse number 7. It's a very famous paragraph. For Hashem, your God, is bringing you to a good land, a land with streams of water, of springs and underground water coming forth in valley and mountain. The more is described about what's wonderful in this land. And then we go to 10. You will eat and you will be satisfied and bless Hashem, your God. Let's go further. And the next pasuk, 11, tells us, take care lest you forget Hashem your God by not observing his commandments, his ordinances, and his decrees, which I command you today, lest you eat and be satisfied, and you build good houses and settle, and your cattle and sheep and goats increase, and you increase silver and gold of yourself, and everything that you have will increase. Meaning, a time will come, you'll have everything. And then, and your heart will become hafty, and you will forget Hashem, your God, who took you out of the land of Egypt, right from the house of slavery. Police you through the desert, right? With great, awesome, right? Brings you to the land of Israel, right? And then go, please, to verse number 19. It shall be that if you forget Hashem, your God, and go after the gods of others and worship them and prostrate yourself to them, I testify against you today that you will surely perish, okay, like the nations who were there before. So what do you have to do? Let's go backwards to 18. Then you shall remember Hashem your God, that it was He who gives you strength to make wealth in order to establish His covenant that He swore to your forefathers as this day. Meaning, in other words, when a person has a lot, he can attribute it to himself, to his strength, to his might. And the Torah wants us to know that it's not we who accomplish it, it's Hashem. And by bringing in the first, which is very desirable, we, to Hashem and not eat it, will remember it. And that's why when we come to it, that we really have plenty, we bring it to Yerushalayim and we say, thank you for all that Hashem has done for us. Okay? It's essential that we say, thank you. Now, I want to go more into the depths of this mitzvah and understand what it will accomplish for us. So it's all about thanksgiving. Hashem does so much for us, we want to thank Him. And we say the declarations. Now, in the merit of it, right, Hashem forgives and Hashem gives us all the good. We want to understand what's taking place here, as I said, on a deeper level. We are commanded to thank Hashem when we come out of a difficult situation, like the Jewish people came out of Egypt, right? It was very difficult there. Now they're in the land of Israel. They have everything. They thank Hashem. There are four categories of people who have to thank Hashem. There is a chapter in Psalms, chapter 107, that discusses those four categories. It's a person who was in prison and was released, a person who crossed the ocean and did it safely, a person who was sick, and Hashem gave him, you know, good health. Four people. We say a special blessing when this happens. How do we think? We say a special blessing. What's the blessing? Hagomel lachayavim tovot. Who does good, we bless Hashem, who does good to those who are chayavim. Chayav means they don't have a merit. Difficult things happen to them. Obviously, it was a result of something that they did. Right? And now Hashem did something good to us. We are obligated to thank Him. Right? So, this is what we want to do now. Hashem did good to us. We want to come to Him and thank Him because of it. Why is this way of taking the basket, coming to Yerushalayim, saying this declaration, will make sure that we know Hashem is doing everything for us? The Baal Shem Tov gives a very interesting analogy to explain in general the concept of gratitude. He says as follows. He says that the Pasuk in Psalms says, Kel nekamot Hashem. Hashem is the God of revenge, meaning there are consequences to the things that we do. And if we do things that are not right, things that are wrong, Hashem will punish us. But then the Pasuk continues and says, Kel nekamot ofia, a God of revenge appears. Why the repetition? And what does it mean? Hashem appears. Right? So the Baal Shem Tov says the following. There was a person who embarrassed the king, a simple person, who embarrassed the king in a very, very bad way. Spoke to the king totally, not appropriately. And the king wanted him to realize what he did. Obviously, a person who speaks like this to a king doesn't understand what royalty is. Otherwise, he would have spoken to him respectfully. One should speak respectfully to everybody, let alone a king, right? So what does Hashem do? Kel Nekamot Hofia. The name Kel of Hashem is a name of mercy. Kel Nekamot Hashem, he bestows goodness upon him. He appoints him to be a minister, gives him a high position, a high salary, treats him with respect like he treats a minister. What happens to the simple person when the king does this? He gets very, very embarrassed. And he realizes how much he has to be grateful to the king, how terrible it was what he did. And when he does, he gives him even more. So he understands even more how wrong it was and what should be the relationship between him and the king. So this is what happens here. By the fact that Hashem gives us a lot, he causes us to feel that we do not deserve. The more you give somebody, the more a person knows that it's Hashem who gives, that it's not my strength, it's not my might. I can work the land and do everything. Hashem will just not bring grain. And then everything is gone. Who created the laws of nature that make it so that when I put a seed in the ground, it grows. And so on and so on and so on. It's endless what Hashem does, and what we do is minimum, right? And without Hashem, it can't happen altogether. So we want to realize that it's Hashem who does everything. We want not to say, it's my strength and my might. And why so? Obviously, Hashem doesn't need our thanks. Because when we realize what is it that Hashem does for us, we feel close to him. We feel grateful. We are connected to him. We can grow the land, get a lot of produce, and all we can feel is arrogance. See what I accomplished. And Hashem is out of the picture. We are here to have the merit and privilege and pleasure and joy of a relationship with Hashem. So we have to recognize what he does for us. So the mitzvah of Bikurim comes to enable us to feel what Hashem does for us, to feel grateful. And when you are grateful, you want to do something in return. By the very fact that we recognize, that we acknowledge that it's Hashem who gives it to us, we will feel joy because Hashem cares about me. The king is giving me this small little nobody, right? One of billions, right? Everything, and cares about the seeds that I put into the ground. Obviously, this fills our heart with gratitude. And gratitude is a very happy feeling. Hashem created us in order to grant us happiness. If we don't have gratitude, we don't experience the happiness. So if I come to Jerusalem with my fruits, with great celebration, I dance, I sing, I sing. There is music all through the way. I come to the Beit HaMikdash and I say whatever I say. Obviously, I get very close to Hashem. And this creates a lot of happiness. What is the purpose of creation? Okay, so that's one way to explain what is the inner meaning of what the mitzvah of Bikurim will accomplish for us if we do it in the proper way. So it will make us grateful, grateful to the one who gives us everything. And in this way, we'll connect to him. It will make us very happy. What is the purpose of creation? I want to explain it in two more ways. And in order to get to the second point, I want you to go to 1081, please. The portions that we'll read this Shabbat has in it Two mitzvot, as I said, one is Bikurim, and we'll soon discuss the second. Afterwards, a big part of the portion is what is known and famous as the Brachot and Klalot, a list of blessings that will happen to us if we do the will of Hashem, and a list of very difficult Klalot that will, God forbid, happen if we don't. At the end of the list of the difficulties that we will have to go through if we don't do the will of Hashem, there is a very famous pasuk. It's verse number 47. And it says as follows, because why will all these difficulties come about? And today we don't need to read it in the Torah only. We know it from our experience. Unfortunately, we went through those things. And we are still in the midst of very difficult times. So what's the reason? So the Pasuk says, because you did not serve Hashem, your God, amid gladness and goodness of heart, when everything was abundant. So there was a time, there were times where we had everything. And even though we had everything, we did not serve Hashem. And I want to again read the words, right? We didn't serve Hashem amid gladness and goodness of heart. And the Hebrew is besimcha. It's because we didn't serve Hashem with happiness, right? That all of it is coming upon us. So we see two sides of the coin, right? The ideal is we are in the land of Israel. Everything goes very well for us. The first fruits are growing for us, and we come with big celebration to Yerushalayim, to the Beit HaMikdash, we give it to the Kohen, and we express our gratitude. Wonderful. And it's a very happy occasion. That's why we say Vehaya. It will be a very happy thing. Okay, that's one. Second, it could be very different. We don't serve Hashem with happiness, and a list of terrible things are happening to us. Okay? And it's difficult to understand. Just because we did all the mitzvot, the Torah doesn't say we didn't do, we did everything, but it was not done with happiness, that's why all these curses will come upon us. How do we understand it? I want to go back to the beginning of the parasha, page 1069, the top. Okay? The Torah tells us it will be when you come to the land of Israel that Hashem gave you, you'll inherit it, you'll be there, and then you do the Bikurim. And we asked, our sages say that this is a mitzvah that has to be done right away. And in the merit of it, we go into the land of Israel. And we ask what we start to do it later. So what are we talking about? How could our sages tell us, do it before, and in this merit, you'll enter the land of Israel? So the Sfasemes explains something very beautiful. He says, in the desert, we cannot do it. But we still can enter the land of Israel because of performing the mitzvah in the desert. It seems like an impossibility. We can do it, but we can do it, and we can enter the land because of it. Practically speaking, to take the fruits and bring it to Beit HaMikdash, we can't. But what we can do is desire to come to this point. We hear about it. We can do it now, but we can't wait to do it. So basically, we are in a situation that we want to do the mitzvah very much so. It will cause us tremendous happiness to be able to do it, but we can't. And there is a rule. If a person wants to do to perform a mitzvah, but he can't, he doesn't have the possibility to do it. Like here, they're in the desert. They don't work the land yet. They didn't enter the land. They didn't conquer it. They didn't divide it between them yet. And the Torah depends the fulfillment of the mitzvah on these conditions. But this does not take away the ability to desire it. And when you desire me to do a mitzvah, to perform a mitzvah very, very much, and you are unable to do it at the moment, it's considered as if you did it. So obviously, we see in another way that what the Torah wants is that we will do the mitzvah with happiness, that we will desire to do it, that we will feel a need to do it. When we come and say the declaration, we start our history, tell our history from the time of Lavan, Yaakov being by Lavan, and Lavan trying to uproot the Jewish nation before it was even created. And then we go into Egypt and whatever happened there, and we were saved from Egypt, and we received the Torah, and we are now on the border of the land of Israel. There is a lot to be grateful for already. And the Jewish people are so filled with gratitude that they can't wait to be able to have this mitzvah of Bikurim, come into the land of Israel and perform it. This is what the relationship to a mitzvah must be, should be. We have to work towards it. Of course, there are endless levels in it. But there are two ways to perform a mitzvah. There is a way to perform a mitzvah. Hashem commanded me to do it. What can I do? I have to. If I want, he'll punish me. I don't want punishment. I'm going to do it. That's one way. It's a big pity to perform a mitzvah like this. Because when we perform a mitzvah with happiness, Hashem bestows upon us holiness, godliness, and the joy is unbelievable. So when we don't have it, when we perform the mitzvot without simcha, without happiness, we just do it as an obligation that we have no choice but to fulfill in order to prevent punishment, then we miss the point. Then in the relationship, it's not what Hashem created us for. And that's why Hashem wants to bring us back to a place where we will appreciate mitzvot. And that's the reason for exile. That's the reason for all the difficult things that are written here. It's not in order to torture us, God forbid. Hashem loves us. We are his children, we said last week in the parsha, right? We are his children. But he doesn't want us to miss out. So he asks us to perform a mitzvah that will remind us to have gratitude because we have a lot to be grateful for. And in this way, we will be able to be happy. This directs us towards another concept as well. What does the person say when he comes right to the Kohen? He says, I'm coming with all the goods that you gave me and I'm giving it to you, right? So there are two approaches to what a person has. There is one approach where a person sees what he has, but he wants more. There is another approach towards what we have. And this is that whatever Hashem gives us, we are happy with. Now, if a person is not happy with what he has, it's a characteristic. If he doesn't work on it, it doesn't matter how much he will have. The more he'll have, the more he'll want, and the more he'll feel he lacks. If a person is happy with what he has, it doesn't have to be necessarily that he has a lot. Even if he will have little, he'll be happy. It's two approaches to life. Do I look at what I have and am happy with it if it's little or a lot? Or do I look at what I have as never enough? Doesn't matter how much I have, little or much, always I want more. These two approaches differentiated between Esav and Yaakov. Esav said, Yesh li rav, I have plenty. Yaakov said, Yesh li kol, I have everything. Okay, so in the rebuke, at the end of the rebuke, when the Torah tells us, What was our problem? An article really translates it in this way. It's 1083, I think I said, right? No, 1081. I want you to go back to the Pasuk and will be exact with the language. Okay? So it's verse number, just a second, 1081. Then 81. No, we just read it before. It's not the right place. Let me see. Okay, I'll say it orally, just that we won't waste time. תחת אשר לא עבדת את השם אלוקיך בשמחה ובטוב לבב מרוב כל. Your approach was רוב. I have a lot, but not I have enough, even though you had. And then you could not feel happy. What makes a person happy is not how much she has. What makes a person happy is his approach towards what he has. There are people who have little and are happy, and people who have a lot and are not satisfied. If a person looks at life for what it is, regardless of how much he has, he can attain happiness. It all is about how we approach life. If we see life on the physical level only, so as much as we want, there is more to have. And we'll always find other people around us who have more and we'll be jealous. And whoever experiences jealousy knows that it takes away happiness fully. We can be totally happy with what we have till we see somebody else having more. And all of a sudden, what we have loses its value. And we cannot be happy with it anymore if we are jealous, right? So the key to happiness is no matter how much I have, I know that I'm here to fulfill a mission. And all that I have or don't have are the tools that were given to me in order to fulfill my unique mission. And this enables me to be happy with whatever I have. And if this is the case, I can be happy. The Mitzvah of Bikurim wants to bring us to the point that we'll be grateful if we have a lot, if we have less, because only in this way can we really be happy. Okay, so we said up till now two things that the Mitzvah of Bikurim wants to accomplish for us. The Mitzvah of Bikurim wants us to be really grateful by knowing that Hashem is the source of everything, and in this way enable us a close relationship with him, because we want a tribute to ourselves, a tribute to him. We'll be grateful, we'll be happy about it, and happy in our mission in life altogether. And second, it wants to bring us to realize that what we have is only a means to connect to Hashem. We take the fruits, the most beloved ones, the first that grow, which are very dear to a farmer, because he worked so hard till he gets the first fruit. And he desires to enjoy it. And if he's capable of taking it and going to Yerushalayim and bringing this, the first, to the Kohen, obviously he indicates that his work is not just in order to eat or to enjoy from the fruits of his labor physically. To him, the physical things are a means to connect to Hashem. And by doing it, he will be always satisfied, because as many means as Hashem gives me, as much that I have, this is what he wants me to connect to him with. And this again will bring us happiness. I want to go to the next mitzvah that we have Right after the mitzvah of Bikurim. And it has something in common with the mitzvah of Bikurim. Because in the second mitzvah, we have again a declaration. It's the only two mitzvot in the Torah that while we perform it, we say a declaration. So let's go to the mitzvah and see what it is, what the declaration is, and what does it add to the idea that we are developing today. Okay, so I'm reading page 1069, the same page, just the beginning is there. Now in the English, it starts in 1071. Okay, it's the second mitzvah in the parasha of Kitavo. When you will finish teething every teeth of your podos in the third year, the year of the teeth, you shall give to the Leviat, to the proselyte, to the orphan, and to the widow, and they shall eat in your cities and be satisfied. Then you shall say before Hashem your God, I have removed the holy things from the house, and I have also given it to the Leviat, to the proselyte, to the orphan, and to the widow, according to all the commandments that you commanded me. I have not transgressed any of your commandments, and I have not forgotten. I have not eaten of it in ways that are not permitted. You look at what I did from above, and bless me in the future. This mitzvah is called again Vidui, but the name of it is Vidui Ma'asrot. It has to do with Ma'aser, with giving parts of my produce before I enjoy from it to other people that the Torah commands me to give to the Kohanim, to the Leviim, who don't have a part in the land of Israel, and that's why we have to provide for them. They do the service for us in the Beit HaMikdash, and to the poor. These are the things that we have to do. And twice a year, there is another maaser that is not given to anybody. We take it to Yerushalayim in the third year of the cycle of seven, the sixth year. No, third six we give to the poor, but there are 2 years, the second and the fourth, that we come to Yerushalayim and we eat the produce there. 4 years that we come to Yerushalayim with the produce, we eat it there in holiness, and 2 years that we give to the poor. So it's two cycles of three. The first 2 years and the fourth and fifth, we give the same thing. And the third and the sixth, we give the same thing. So it's 1, 2, 3, one group, and then 4, 5, 6, one group. At the end of the third year, after we gave all that we had to give, in years 1, 2, and 3, we have to say a declaration. We tell Hashem, everything that you commanded us in terms of ma'aser, of what we have to give to others from our produce, I accomplished. And I'm asking you that you'll best look at it, see that I've done it, and you will bless me for the future as well. Okay. Why do we need to say this declaration? And especially, I did not yet refer to two things that are said here that need explanation, right? After he says that he gave to everybody, right? And he did all the commandments, okay? The Torah says in verse number 13 at the end, okay? I have not transgressed any of your commandments. And then the Torah says, and I have not forgotten. What didn't I forget? And then I have not eaten it, other laws about it. But what didn't I forget? Obviously, if I gave it, I didn't forget. Why do I have to say I did not forget? I declared already, I gave everything you commanded me. So what do the words, I have not forgotten, add here? So our sages say, I did not forget to say a blessing. Very interesting. I gave everything, but I said also the blessings on the mitzvot. Okay? You gave me mitzvot. I have to give 1/10 to the Kohen, to the Levi. I have to give some to the Kohen. I have to give to the poor. I have to whatever you command me to do. I have not forgotten to say a blessing. Very interesting. The fact that we have to say a blessing is part of the declaration. What Avlasi indicates to us, that the blessing is a very, very important part of the fulfillment of this obligation. Hashem commanded us to do a mitzvah. We know that before we do mitzvot, we say a blessing, right? Also, before we eat, we say a blessing. After we eat, we say a blessing. But before we make a mitzvah, we perform a mitzvah, right? Before we shake the lulav, we say a blessing, right? And so on and so on and so on. We say a blessing on a mitzvah. We light Shabbat candles, right? We say a blessing, right? We say a blessing connected to mitzvot and connected to things that we enjoy. If it's food, if it's a good smell, right? Mitzvot that have to do with joys that we received from this world, and mitzvot and blessings that have to do with mitzvot. What's the point of the blessing? If we speak about mitzvot, it's basically thanking Hashem that He gave us the mitzvah. It's an indication, along the same lines that we discussed till now, that we are happy to do the mitzvah. It's the preparation for doing the mitzvah. As we said before, we can have two approaches to perform a mitzvah. One is, Hashem commanded me, I have to do it. But if I say a blessing to Hashem before I perform the mitzvah, what do I say? I say I'm looking forward to do it. It brings to my attention, why am I going to do the mitzvah? It draws my attention to the meaning of the mitzvah, to the privilege of performing a mitzvah, and will enable me to perform the mitzvah with happiness. Now, the performance of a mitzvah has the potential to cause happiness. We'll take a mitzvah where all of us can relate to it. And this is the mitzvah of giving charity, helping another person. It's very interesting. We take away from ourselves. We give to somebody else, not only money, time, energy, attention, whatever it will be, and it causes us happiness. Very interesting. Why? Because it's a mitzvah. Doing something that Hashem commanded us has the potential to give us satisfaction, fulfillment, happiness. And in order to perform the mitzvah in a way that it won't be just mechanical, that it will really connect us to Hashem in a way that will cause joy, we say a blessing before. So when a person comes after he gave a lot, it's quite a nice percentage of what we have to give before we start eating. We have to give to a few, right? So a person wants to say, I'm happy. I understand it's a privilege. Even though I'm taking away from myself things and I'm giving it to others, I view it and understand and feel happy about it. And being that we do, thank God, a lot of mitzvot every day, we don't want to forget to do it with happiness. So that's why the person says, I did not forget. What didn't I forget? To say a blessing, meaning I understand that performing mitzvot is for the purpose of connecting to Hashem, of experiencing happiness while doing the mitzvah. And in order to be able to do it in this way, I want to prepare myself for the fulfillment of the mitzvah. And the blessing is part of the preparation. Now, if we think about the concept of expressing my gratitude after I eat, when I eat, or when I drink, or when I see something extraordinarily beautiful, this is one category of blessings. Birkot ha-nehenin, I experience joy from whatever exists in this world, and I say a blessing, or I perform a mitzvah and I say a blessing. When would it be the best time to say it? It seems that after. Because if this is the expression of the happiness that the mitzvah brings to me, So when do I feel more happiness? Before I give to somebody or after I gave it to him? Obviously, it's the act of giving that gives me the satisfaction. So it seems that the mitzvot should be, the blessing should be after. And interestingly enough, in the only blessing that the Torah obligates us to bless, not our sages, but the Torah itself, it's the blessing after eating. The Torah says, Ve'achalta, you should eat, Ve'savata, you should be satisfied, Uverachta, and then you should bless, say a blessing. And it's understandable. If I want to thank Hashem for what He gave me, if I want to feel the happiness of Hashem takes care of me, if I'm satisfied, if I'm fulfilled, I can feel the happiness, and then I'll say a blessing. So from the Torah, this is what I'm obligated to do. But as we all know, we say blessings before we eat as well, before we drink as well. And this is an addition of our sages. And our sages explain why was it established. Because if after Hashem gave us, we say a blessing, we should definitely refer to Him before He gave us. Now I am hungry and I need Him to provide for me, right? So I approach Him. And I say, blessed are you, Hashem, who produces the fruit, who produces the bread. It's like thankfulness and a request at the same time. I'm holding the thing in my head, the cup of water in my hand. I thank Hashem for it, right? But I'm also recognizing that He is the source before. So our sages learned from the fact that the Torah told us to say a blessing after, that it should be so, that they will add the blessings of before too. Of course, when I'm hungry and I don't have what to eat, I have to approach Hashem, who is the provider. And after I ate, I approach Him with thankfulness that He really gave it to me because I am satisfied now. I was hungry and now I'm satisfied. Right? But it's an addition of our sages. And it again indicates to us what we said before, that what we want is not just to do the mitzvah. We don't even want just to eat in order to be satisfied. Everything and anything that we experience in our life, from hunger to satisfaction, from eating to seeing to hearing, whatever it will be, as well as all the mitzvot, are for us a means to give Hashem the ability to bestow upon us happiness, because that's what He created the world for. He created the world in order to give us joy. And we want to create the opportunity for Hashem, so to speak, to give us joy, what is the fulfillment of what we were created for. So we say the blessing before, and we say the blessing after. If we experience the satisfaction of connecting to Hashem via mitzvot, obviously we'll be eager to do more. If, let's take an example, we have a morning where we get up and we pray, and it goes very smoothly. And we feel very connected. We feel elevated. We feel the closeness of Hashem. It's an amazing feeling. We don't have it every day. Only very great people, right? But it's something we work on. And from time to time, we have moments like this. If we had such an experience, we'll be happy to start praying tomorrow. Anticipating it again, right? Knowing that we can be there. Interestingly enough, the day after, it might be very hard to do it, because Hashem gave us a gift and now He wants us to earn it, to make it something on an ongoing basis. So He steps back, like somebody who teaches a child to walk. He holds him in the beginning, then He steps back till the child learns to walk on his own, right? But obviously, the very fact that we had such an experience encourages us to seek and do more mitzvot. This is what our sages say, mitzvah goreret mitzvah. The fulfillment of one mitzvah drags after it another mitzvah. Right? If I had the ability to perform the mitzvah in the proper way and I feel the joy that comes with it, I want to do more. Right? So, this is the purpose. So we have to do the mitzvot if we don't feel so as well. It's an obligation. Hashem told me to do it. And if I won't continue doing it, even when I don't feel, I won't come to a point where I will feel. It's the performance time after time after time. And the investment in trying to understand and invest in it that eventually will bring us there. We have to do it anyhow. But the goal and the purpose is to feel the happiness. When we don't, the Torah gives us a long list of very difficult realities that we will have to go through. And why so? There are two situations in the life of every person. Situations that he is happy about. Things are going for him on all levels, right? Health-wise, financially, relationships, whatever it will be. Everything is going well. And there, this and another possibility, where we don't have everything we want. And it's not black and white. It could be a combination. Certain things we are happy about and many we are not happy about, right? The desire of Hashem is that we will serve him while having. And that's what he says at the end of the curses. It's because amidst gladness, you did not serve him. Now, to serve Hashem when we have everything is the harder test. We wish we will be able to pass this test. But we feel more a need to connect to Hashem and an urge to connect to him when things don't go well. Then we know to whom to turn. It's a high level to have it all and still be connected as if we have nothing and we are desperate. Being that it's a harder test, if we don't pass the harder test, Hashem wants us to be able to achieve the goal by having a lesser test. So he takes away some of what we have, hoping that this will bring us back to him. Now, if we go to exile and experience all the difficulties, because at the time that we had everything, we could not connect to Hashem enough. We did not experience the happiness that is a result of gratitude, of attributing everything to Hashem, of feeling that whatever we have is good because it's tools and means towards a mission. If we don't pass this test, right? And Hashem gives us the more difficult test. And we want to come back to the old, to have everything and still pass the test. What do we have to do? We have to work on happiness regardless of what's happening in our life. Because that's really the change of attitude. If I can have less and be happy, what do I indicate? I understand that the physical is not the main thing. I understand everything comes from Hashem. If this is what he gave me, obviously this is what I need and this is what I should work with, and so on and so on. So it's the happiness while we go through difficulties that will bring the Geula. Meaning Hashem doesn't give us the reason just to satisfy our curiosity. If Hashem gives a reason, it's because he wants to show us the way to come back to him. To come back to the happiness that he is eager to give us. We are his children. We didn't pass the test of having. He takes away things from us. And I speak on a national level now. Right? He takes away things from us. Because on a personal level, every person has his mission and it's very complex. Right? I won't go there. It's a topic on its own. What a person individually has. But the mission of each individual and the nation in general is to be able to experience that the connection to Hashem is the most important thing in our life, and turn the misfortunes in our life into a way to connect to Hashem that will grant us happiness. In order to be able to do it, we have to appreciate the mitzvot. We have to appreciate what Hashem demands from us. We have to learn what the mitzvot are all about, how they affect us. And each time that we experience a mitzvah properly, we perform a mitzvah properly and experience the satisfaction and fulfillment that comes with it, we shouldn't forget. We shouldn't forget that it's the spiritual achievements that can give us the ultimate happiness. And the more we concentrate on this type of happiness, the closer we bring the redemption. Because if we can have as a nation everything and fulfill our purpose with it, obviously Hashem will be very, very glad to give it to us and end all the difficulties that we are going through. Okay, I'll open for remarks and questions.
Before I open, I just want to make an announcement that this class is Le'ilu Nishmas, Mi'irachai and Nechama Bracha, Bastav and Mordechai. Okay, I'm going to open for questions. You should be able to unmute yourselves.
Okay, I have a question. There are some mitzvot that don't require a bracha, like Bikur Cholim, and also, as the Rebbetzin mentioned, tzedakah. I think I learned, I'm not sure, that because they're unlimited, you can do it unlimited times. But we do say a Birkas HaTorah, and that you can also do unlimited. So
I don't want to give an answer why the difference. I think because there is a mitzvah every day of learning Torah, right? And a person can fulfill his obligation just by saying Shema Yisrael, he fulfilled the mitzvah. Then, obviously, we are encouraged to learn all day long. That's what I think. But I want to check it.
It sounds.
I want to check it.
Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Sure. Anybody else?
I have a question, yeah?
Go ahead.
Thank you so much. That was great.
Sure.
A couple of questions. Number one, can the Rebbetzin explain the bracha of Birchas HaGomel again? When we say HaGomel LeChayavim Tovim, I wasn't clear.
HaGomel LeChayavim Tova.
Tova.
He does good to those who are obligated. Right?
The obligated to Hashem?
Yeah. Obligated to thank, meaning what the Torah wants us is to feel an obligation to thank. And it's coming from the fact that we know that it's not our accomplishment.
Okay.
It's coming from Hashem. So we owe it to Him. It's an obligation.
Thank you. Right. And then the second question is the mitzvah Bikurim is so profound and it brings us to such connection. What do we have today?
The learning of the mitzvah.
Wow.
It's like with all the mitzvot that are part of Torah, and obviously each one is significant in its own specific way. We are told that learning about the mitzvah, it's like performing it.
Like the korbanos.
Right, like in korbanot, exactly.
And the last question, if somebody's going through a lot of challenges and they do mitzvot and they don't experience that spiritual achievement, and they don't experience that fulfillment and that connection.
Okay. In a way, if they put effort into fulfilling it, it might be even greater. It's a test many times, right? Will I, you know, persist in my doing?
Mm-hmm.
And no, I'm tested now, but I'm investing. See, there was somebody who came to a big rabbi and told him, I put a lot of effort into prayer. I try a lot. And I hardly succeed in understanding, in realizing what I'm saying, but I feel nothing. He answered something so profound and beautiful. He told him, who told you that Hashem wants you to feel? Maybe He wants to see if you can do the job, even if you don't.
Wow. Wow.
So sometimes it's like this, sometimes it's like this. We have to know that what Hashem counts is the trying, it's the effort. If I, let's say, put effort into praying properly, and it didn't go, but I'm not saying, okay, what can I do? And just say it like nothing till the end of the prayer. And I'm trying again. Okay, I failed again. Let me try again. Let me try again. I did what I needed. And the knowledge that I did what I need should give me satisfaction. A person has a very difficult time. Some people will say, I can talk to you now. It's human to feel so. It's a test. If I open up the siddur and say, it's very hard to talk to you now, the way I feel. But I know it's all from you. I know it's for my benefit, even though I don't feel it and don't understand it. And I am going to talk to you. It's a big accomplishment.
Wow. Thank
so
you
maybe
so much.
Do it. It's important that the person will do it with this in mind. Because this by itself gives a satisfaction. Hashem is waiting for my speaking to him. Yes, I can talk. It's like a father who sees his son, child, right? In a very difficult situation, the child hardly can speak to him. But he still says, Abba. That's a lot.
Thank you.
Sure. More questions? Okay, so we should have a good week and be able to serve Hashem from happiness,
Reverend.
Having all the good things
Amen.
That He wants to give
Thank
us.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Ladies, next week we have two classes on Tuesday and Wednesday.
One is Parshah, one is Rosh Hashanah.
Right.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Esther, I'll speak to you in a minute.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Reverend Cohen. It was very beautiful.
Thank you, Reverend.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
So much, Reverend.